This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Gutis. It's Entrepreneur Friday, and we'll meet an athlete-turned-businessman in our next segment. But right now, data this week shows signs that the U.S. may be headed for stagflation, a troubling scenario that could be worse than a recession. And joining us to explain, David Jones, the chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. So, David, what's going on here and why are we worried about stagflation?
Well, we've got at least half of the story. Inflation slowing, which has been going on for some time, has stalled in the first 3 months of 2024. In each of those months, the consumer price index measured year over year has exceeded Fed expectations. So we've got the one half of stagflation. The thing that we still don't have in focus yet is the economy. We had a major slowing in growth in the first quarter to 1.6% compared with 3.4% in the fourth quarter of last year. But we still have strength in consumer spending, as was just noted. We also have business fixed investment benefiting from the AI revolution. Even residential fixed investment was up, and so was government spending. The big negatives were inventories and imports. That picture is probably temporary, so we don't yet have that second half of the story, which would be a persistent slowing in the rate of growth of the economy.
You know, any of us who are old enough to remember the 1970s remembers stagflation. And maybe for those who don't remember or those who need to be reminded, even though it's a bit painful, what could stagflation mean for the economy?
Oh, it's devastating because we have a slowing in everything that we want to see grow, like wages, demand, the whole story begins to stagnate at the same time that inflation stays high. You're absolutely right. I experienced the 70s, and it was devastating, and it took Paul Volcker, the knight in shining armor, to finally end the process with extremely high interest rates. So the main thing we want to do is avoid it, and we'll just have to wait and see if the economy continues to show signs of slowing.
If we continue to see these signs, if we are heading towards stagflation, do you think that the Fed now would follow Volcker's lead in how he handled it?
Well, I think it'll have to, and that changes everything. Right now, I was hoping at least for a one or two cuts in interest rates by the end of the year. The Fed just has to watch and wait at the present time, and it raises all kinds of issues. If we get stagflation, I think the Fed has to start raising interest rates as Paul Volcker did, and that would be devastating to the stock market.
That's David Jones, the chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver. He's author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Thanks, David, as always. Coming up on Entrepreneur Friday, it's tequila time.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and today we explore the unexpected beginning of a booming tequila brand. And we welcome Jim Bob Morris, former safety for the Green Bay Packers, serial entrepreneur, and co-founder of El Bandido Yankee Tequila, which he founded in part with former Blackhawk Chris Chelios. So, Jim Bob, it kind of sounds like a joke. A former Packer, a former Blackhawk, and a friend walk into a bar. Take me from there.
That's pretty much how it went, Jim. Chris and I started enjoying tequila several years back, and I always admired his career. I was retiring from the sport of football, and he was becoming a star in the 90s, and we started hanging out. In the last, back in 2017-18, we started drinking a lot of tequila together, and one night in a stupor about 2:30 in the morning, we came up with this concept that we needed to do our own tequila, and voila, it was born.
What was wrong with tequila as it existed? Because the reason you decided to form and create El Bandido Yankee Tequila was because what you were drinking wasn't up to snuff.
That's correct. We're traditionalists. A lot of tequila out there today is adulterated. It's got vegetable glycerin in it or vanilla or caramel. And Chris and I were drinking a very popular brand. Chris actually was good friends with these guys. And I go, Chris, I don't like it. It's got vegetable glycerin in it. And he goes, you can't take vegetable glycerin. I go, I'm a food scientist. I got a food ingredients company. I know what I'm talking about. So he goes, well, maybe Mr. Agave, we should create our own. And we did. And the funny story about that, when I asked Chris, I go, you got a name for it? He goes, I do. There's a movie called Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid. Did you ever see it? I go, I've seen it a million times. He goes, well, there's a line in there after they rob a bank down in Bolivia. The colonel comes out and they're riding off and he goes, El Bandido Yankees. And there it was. At 2:30 in the morning, Chris and I started this company and it's been very successful. We created a $100 million entity in about 3 years. Case sales are strong. We got one of the best Añejos in the world being released right now as we speak. And so it's been an exciting new company. Certainly getting into the spirits business for me has had its challenges and it's been very educational, I can tell you that.
Well, how does a former safety for the Packers get into this line of work?
You know, when I got out of football, I was living in Chicago and we were doing real estate. I was working for Lincoln Property Company and worked for Miglin Beitler. And I got a good education in the real estate sector. And then some things just developed where I got asked to join part of the family business and get into packaging. And I got into the packaging business. We're the largest producer of pet food bags in the world today. And that led to vertical acquisition. I bought a food ingredients company. Everybody I was selling packaging to needed ingredients. And so we got into that business. And so I got into the food business. And really what happened, I was buying about $50, $60 million worth of agave. And we were taking agave and making agave nectar and sweetener. And we were taking sucrose and fructose off labels. And we were cleaning up labels for people. And so, you know, I thought I knew a little bit about agave. Chris thought I knew a little bit about agave. I could tell you, I didn't know anything about tequila manufacturing, so we've been learning.
I got to ask you, Jim Bob, you were at the draft last night. What do you think about the Bears' choices in the first round?
A+. I tell you what, we were there last night. We flew back to Midway this morning. It was fantastic. I thought that, you know, Caleb Williams, let me tell you something. With the team that we've got in Chicago, the trio of receiving core that we have, in my mind, could be one of the best in the NFL. The draft was great. You know, there's no reason to be in Detroit from my perspective other than the draft. You know, because we still hate Detroit. Doesn't matter if you're a Packer or a Bear. But we had a great time. The Bears did excellent. We'll see how they do on day two here, but I'll tell you, with what we've got going, boy, the plate is set for Caleb Williams.
That's Jim Bob Morris, a former safety for the Green Bay Packers, a serial entrepreneur, and the co-founder of El Bandido Yankee Tequila. Thanks, Jim Bob. Great talking with you. Up next, adding comic books to your investment portfolio.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
We often talk about the importance of portfolio diversification on the Noon Business Hour. Today, we're delving into an unconventional yet burgeoning asset class, high-end vintage comic books. And joining us to explain, Vincent Zerzolo, the president of MetropolisComics.com, ComicConnect.com, and his firm is the world's largest dealer of vintage comic books. Normally, we'd speak with him from New York, but he's actually in Chicago this weekend for the C2E2 at McCormick Place. Now, what is the key here if someone is thinking about, you know what, comic books, I'd like to invest in them? What's the best way for someone to do it, especially if they really don't know how to invest in them?
Well, Jim, I think the best place to start is to figure out what characters you're interested in, what your budget is. Once you have a feel for, hey, I can spend X number of dollars per year on comic books, then you can start to figure out what you should buy. I would also advise people buying mainstream characters like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four, Flash, Justice League, things like that.
Is this something that's more fun and you can enjoy, say, your favorite comic book heroes or something like that? Or is there a side to this that is really a valuable investing tool?
It's a little bit of both, and I definitely feel that people are passionate about comic books and pop culture in general, but then there's also a money side to it where they realize that there's great appreciation, usually, over time with vintage comic books.
So, again, the key here is, I imagine it's go into this with some fun and you might profit from it. How much could someone, and I guess this all depends on how fortunate you are, in, unless you're very savvy and know what to get, how much or how profitable can this be as an investment?
Well, I can give you an example for myself personally. I bought a comic book in the year 2000 for, this was a lot of money at the time, $115,000, and it's worth over $2 million right now. It's the first appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15 from 1962. But there are many comic books that I bought for $10, $12, $50, $100 that have gone up to into the thousands of dollars. So there's definitely a budget and a book for every budget. Yes.
We've talked about the right things to do. What are some of the wrong things that people do if they decide to invest in comic books?
I would say the wrong thing to do is you don't want to buy from people that can't be trusted. You want to deal with people who have a great reputation in the hobby, companies like myself, Comic Connect or Metropolis, and you want to basically make sure you're paying fair market value for these. And there are online websites that have pricing data, like my website has a search for sold stock and sold items. And then there's sites like GP Analysis and Go Collect that also, and the Overstreet Price Guide. So there's plenty of ways to get a transparent look into the market and understand better as to value.
That's Vincent Zerzolo, the president of MetropolisComics.com, ComicConnect.com, and his firm is the world's largest dealer for vintage comic books. Vincent, thanks for joining us today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Goodis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Students at Northwestern are now part of nationwide protests against the war in Gaza.
This is Nancy Hardy. Bears fans have high hopes after the team drafted Caleb Williams as the number one pick.
On Entrepreneur Friday, we meet a Chicago woman who's taken a passion for arts and crafts and turned them into a business. And home buyers are dealing with prices that are at a decade-long high. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 214 points. The S&P 500 is up 62, and the NASDAQ is ahead by 356 points. AccuWeather says stormy weather is heading our way. We could see a high of 62 this afternoon, and then tonight we're going to see mostly cloudy skies, breezy conditions, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, with a low of 56 before temperatures start to rise overnight. Then tomorrow might see a storm in spots. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun with a humid high near 80. Right now, under cloudy skies, it's 56 at O'Hare at 12:31. For a second straight day, hundreds of people are gathered at Deering Meadow on the campus of Northwestern University. The students and others supporting them say it's a show of support for Palestinian people living in Gaza. They add they're protesting what they call censorship from the school and also want the university to divest from Israel. Hope is abundant among Bears fans today following their selections in the first round of the NFL draft, as we hear from WBBM's Nancy Hardy.
Fans who couldn't make it to Detroit to see in person the Bears pick Caleb Williams were able to watch and celebrate at Soldier Field. That's where Jaden told CBS2 he's thrilled to have the USC quarterback.
I'm so excited about this number one pick, man. Future of the franchise. It's finally nice to have a good quarterback,
The choice of Williams was not a surprise, but fans who gathered at the stadium were pleased to see the Bears use their number 9 pick to select wide receiver Rome Odunze. They were also able to run the field, kick field goals, and tour the locker room at a draft party. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks trading sharply higher, and joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street today is Ryan Dietrich, the chief market strategist at Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. So, Ryan, your take on what's driving the markets today?
Yeah, TGIF, everybody, first things first. But you look at it yesterday, okay, we were all worried. GDP came in a little bit weak. You had Meta / Facebook disappointing earnings. What a difference 24 hours makes, because now we've got some really strong earnings. Google's up significantly, maybe their best day since 2015. You've got technology soaring back. Microsoft also had strong earnings. So to put a bow on this, the earnings backdrop continues to be strong. We had some spending data. Spending is still strong. What's that mean? It means the consumer is still strong. And we've seen that for several months now. So all in all, the economy looks good. Earnings are strong. That's why we're seeing a big bounce in stocks today.
You know, earlier we were talking about the potential threat of stagflation as the economy does seem maybe to be slowing down a bit. We're still seeing stubborn inflation out there. It sounds like you're fairly optimistic about how the economy is looking, or are you also concerned about the potential for stagflation?
No, we're a little more optimistic. I mean, last year our economy grew at a nominal basis of almost 6%. What in the world does that mean? Well, that's one of the best years, outside of the recession, or outside of, coming off the pandemic we've ever seen. So things are slowing down a little bit, but it's all relative. Manufacturing has really been coming back. Again, earnings are strong. Consumption remains strong. We could nitpick it. I don't want to get too in the weeds on this, but that GDP, economic data we got yesterday, which was disappointing. If you take out inventories and take out exports, two of the more volatile areas, final demand actually is up close to 3%. So it's a much, much better number. And I think when you peel back that onion, that's what kind of markets are doing today. They realize, you know what, maybe the headline number wasn't as bad, because take out the volatile stuff, consumer is still strong, and that's truly who drives this economy.
So what is your strategy for investors right now with these conditions?
Yeah, so we have had a heck of a run, as we know, right? The S&P was up almost 30% over the past year. So to see, if you look at an election year, for instance, April, May, June tend to be kind of choppy. So I think the key thing for investors is just be aware the market's probably going to catch its breath after the rally we've had. Do not panic. The headlines are the headlines, but just also be aware that we still think it's the bull market. We still think earnings are strong. Consumption is strong. And final comment on this, if you look at election years, you tend to have a summer rally. We're going to hear a lot about sell in May, go away next week. The worst 6 months are from May until Halloween historically. And that is true. But in an election year, you actually tend to get pretty strong returns during these upcoming 6 months, and we don't think this year is going to be very different.
So we've talked about, for instance, tech stocks doing well. Is there anything out there that should be looked at that maybe is being overlooked right now by investors?
Sure. Everyone focuses on tech, and tech actually has kind of lagged a lot lately. I mean, it hasn't disappointed. It's bouncing. But to us, what investors need to remember, and where we're overweight, we like the cyclicals, right? I just talked about why we don't see a recession. So what do I mean by that? Your industrials, your financials, your materials, your energy. To us, those are areas that everyone loves tech and communications. It's done amazing. We get it. And you should have that in your portfolio. But to us, do not forget the cyclical part of parts of the economy, as we think maybe some money flows out of the high-flying tech names into those cyclical areas, which again should do better if the economy is strong, which is how we see things playing out the rest of this year.
That's Ryan Dietrich, the chief market strategist at Carson Group in Omaha. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate your insight.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
People looking for houses this spring face a double whammy: high mortgage rates and record asking prices. And let's get the latest from Brian Wickard, president and owner of AccuNet Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. So talk more, Brian, about that double whammy.
Well, what you have going on is that interest rates, had dipped at the beginning of the year. Now we're back up on a 30-year fixed rate with 25% down and all the other right stuff in the Chicago area, where your median sales price, by the way, is $364,000. You're looking at about 7.375 on a 30-year fixed. That is, are you ready? $71 more per month than 699. So it's really more psychological. And frankly, on the front lines of home buying, we are not seeing any significant dampening in the appetite for people to buy a home.
So what's the advice right now for someone who's thinking about buying a home or looking at their financing? What are you recommending right now?
Better to do it now, because we don't see any significant, in the Midwest, in markets surrounding Chicago or in southeastern Wisconsin, for example, we do not see any significant dampening in the demand. Because guess what? People have babies. They get married. They have life reasons for wanting to buy a home, or if they already own, buying a bigger home. So the great thing about Chicago and all of Illinois is it is extremely inexpensive to refinance. So we like to coach our home buyers to marry the house, find the right house, pay whatever you got to pay to get it, and just date the rate. Because you know what? Mortgage rates are going to come down. We just don't know when. And when they do come down, let's help you refinance to a lower payment for the rest of the life of the loan.
And is there, who should right now be looking at, in addition to anyone who's thinking about buying, who else should be looking perhaps at financing right now?
Well, it's hard. I would be the best salesman in the world if I could get people to give up their 3% mortgage and trade it in for a 7.3. So that's a tough sale. The only other people other than home buyers that are looking to borrow right now are those who have to. For example, people that are going through a divorce, they're forced to refinance. Another group of folks might be those who own their home free and clear. 35% of Americans own their home without a mortgage. So if they're looking to do something, for example, buy a home in Florida where it's expensive to finance, I'm helping people refinance their homes in Chicago and Milwaukee to purchase in other markets.
All right. That's Brian Wickard, the president and owner of AccuNet Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.